So, mission statements. Everybody, it seems, has got one. Here's one or two that I've just pulled out at random. This is McDonald's. McDonald's brand mission is to be our customers' favourite place and way to eat and drink. Our worldwide operations are aligned around a global strategy called the Plan to Win, which centre on an exceptional customer experience, people, products, place, price and promotion. It's very snappy, isn't it? Right, let's have a look at another one. This is Sainsbury's. Our vision is to be the most trusted retailer where people love to work and shop. That means harnessing the talent, creativity and diversity of our colleagues to ensure that customers receive great service every time they shop with us. Pretty good so far, right? Good. Let's have a look at another one. Honda, I've chosen this because I drive a Honda. Maintaining a global viewpoint, we are dedicated to supplying products of the highest quality, yet at a reasonable price for worldwide customer satisfaction. Wow. Worldwide customer satisfaction. That's aiming high, isn't it? And finally, I thought I'd just throw this one in. This is the Conservative Party's mission statement. This is what their goal is. A dynamic economy where thriving businesses create jobs, wealth and opportunity. A strong society where our families, our communities and our nation create secure foundations on which people can build their lives. Okay, enough said about that one, I think. We've got to have a think about how businesses, how organisations, institutions live up to their hype, if you like. It's good, actually, to have something to aim for, isn't it? You always want something to aim for. You want to be better than you are. But it's important for any organisation, if they want to be good at what they do, to know themselves and what they are there to do. Of course, the church is not a business, but our business is God's business. And naturally, we must know what that is and what it is not. It's often been observed that in many places the church has lost its way. And those observations are based on a trend of long, gradual, but steady decline in numbers and in activity. And that was reflected in how Pat started the service, in a sense of talking about where a lot of places are in that journey with God. But unless churches know what they're about, unless businesses know what they're about, they won't attract good employees or make profit, or public service will not serve the common good, and churches will not thrive for the same reason if we don't know what we're about. But we are blessed actually to have what other organisations do not have. The only two resources we need to thrive as a church, and both are the extensive focus of the New Testament. Firstly, clear guidance on how we should live. That's what Jesus came to show us. Firstly, that there is a way to know God and to live in the light of his love. But secondly, the kind of qualities that we need, the things that we need to pursue in our individual lives to be more like Christ. Of course, like the best mission statements, maybe we never quite achieve it, and we won't this side of heaven. But for striving to be that way whilst being human is exactly what God wants of us. And the second thing is the assurance in the New Testament of the power. I'm not really sure I like that word because it has other sort of connotations, power, you know, abuse of power and so on. But we have the resources in God to achieve what he's set before us to do. And again, it's a good exercise occasionally to look around at the congregation, to people that you know, maybe people you don't know. The people that you know the good things about them. Let's tell each other more what we're good at. Let's point it out. Actually, I really value you because of what you bring to our church community. These are the things that you're good at, that you offer to God and are fruitful. But actually also to speculate with regard to the people that we don't know. Some of those people that we're getting to know who put their hands up a little early on, new to this congregation, to wonder, what is your gift? What has God given you that none of the rest of us really have in great measure? What is it that your talent, not that we want to suck it out of you and use it for other purposes, but to give it to God is the highest calling that any of us could ever have. To giving it back to God and seeing the fruit that he generates out of giving of ourselves to God. So the two resources that we need, we're blessed because we have them. They're given to us. Guidance in what we should be, more like Jesus, and the power, the ability, the resources to do that in Christ. If our eyes are fixed on him, then we have all that we need. Although churches too have mission statements, in one sense we shouldn't need one, because our mission is made clear in the Bible. And the unity of togetherness, the unity of conviction and purpose of which Paul writes is enough to ensure that there should be no yawning gap between the purpose of the church and the desires of its people. And this is why, because he quotes this in to the letter to the Ephesians. From Christ, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In other words, in a body, everything is coordinated, unless you're like me playing football or something. Everything is coordinated to the one good of the whole body. If you want something to eat, you don't have to think about it or instruct. Every part of you is thinking, right, I need something to eat. I walk into the kitchen. You don't have to plan it. It happens, doesn't it? If you're thirsty, as I am now, actually, I've just reminded myself here. You reach for a drink. So when the body of Christ is working together as it should be, we're all convinced of the same aims. We're all heading in the same direction. We're all centered on the same purpose, and we're moving together as a community to be what Christ calls us to be. This morning, though, I want to just consider briefly, because I want to talk more about this as this year goes on, about being in community. So I want to talk just briefly this morning about the context of the church in the world, particularly what it means to live together as Christians. And we can't explore that all in one morning, but we'll make a start to decide what or discover what God's purpose is in having a church at all. The problem with having a mission statement is that you get held to account by it. If you put a mission statement on paper for the world to see, then people will judge you by it. Hence, we wonder whether Honda are doing their business. Worldwide customer satisfaction. Well, brilliant. Are they doing that? A Sainsbury's making your shopping experience a wonderful... Do you want to go to Sainsbury's every night and do your shopping? No, it's not achieving its purpose, is it? So what about McDonald's making it the world's favourite place to eat and have joyful times and so on, you know? There speaks a former McDonald's employee, actually. But there you go. The mission statement is there to be a goal, isn't it? But the problem, the downside of that, is that people will hold you to account for it. So if we say, for instance, we're a welcoming church. We love our community. Well, if somebody walks through our doors and doesn't get a hello or a smile, then they're thinking, they don't live up to their mission statement. This isn't really a place I want to be. But I thank God that this isn't that sort of church. That we are that sort of welcoming people. Tick. We meet that one. But the problem is, with having an extensive mission statement, is we have to say to ourselves, are we doing it? I've seen some good church mission statements, and I've seen some poor ones. The poor ones usually run to about 7 paragraphs, and people never remember them. People never understand what they're really all about at their essence. But I pray that we do, or we will, discover what is at our essence as we look at the reason for being community here in this place. Companies and institutions get judged by people who see whether they live up to it or not. But as for us, we get judged by God, who sees whether or not we live up to what he calls us to be. And that's a task both for the individual and for the church together, isn't it? Because if God has somehow entered your life, has changed your life, as he can and as he does, then it orientates us clearly towards the Bible, which says, now what? Now what? I've sensed a difference in my life. God has changed my life. Now what? And that mission statement and discovering and working it out is something for us internally, but it's also something for us together. That as every ligament holds the joints together, as a body is an integral unit, so we understand at our core what we're about. And that is what drives us and gets us moving. That's why it's really important that the people of a church don't just decide among themselves what they want to be and do, but that we know and aspire to and move towards what a church should be in the mind and the purpose of God, where that purpose was conceived. And throughout this year, I'd like us to focus as a church on our calling to be a community. That is, a community that within itself fulfills this greatest commandment. The greatest commandment of all, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he said, he attached to it, didn't he? This other one, he said, it's the same thing, actually. Love your neighbour as yourself, because if you love God with everything, you find that you love other people too, because that's what God does. And I said this before, that this is the hardest thing for us to do all the time, isn't it? Don't we find sometimes that you're motivated and you're lifted up, and the things that we're doing seem to be blessed by God, they seem to be producing fruit, and in other times you feel in a bit of flatness about things, don't you? That's just life. That's life in general. It's life in a church. Sometimes it's hard to do that. If my neighbour, who might be sitting next to me in church or might be living two doors down the road, is a particular irritation to me one day, does it happen? No, of course it doesn't. But when that happens, how difficult it is to love that person as ourselves. This is that kind of mission statement which is up there that maybe we'll never reach perfectly, but that we're to aspire to. And in our aspiring, in our journey, that's when we're meeting the purpose of God for ourselves and for our church. Jesus said, there is no greater commandment than these. Jesus said that this is the greatest way to live, to honour God. It's also perhaps the greatest mission statement for a church to have, because as long as we have a heart for God and love for one another, then the consequences of being and living that way will mean that the bonds within the community will strengthen and deepen. And not only that, those who look in on that community to see if they're fulfilling their mission statement will see the God-centered goodness that is life-transforming. Such a community fulfills God's desire and plan for his people, for being a light to the Gentiles, the reading from Isaiah, and an example to the world, the reading from Ephesians. That's his purpose, to be a light to the world beyond and an example of that joy of close relationship with him. Through Isaiah, God shows his people that this is their mission statement, to live in such a way that those nations around them would look in on their lives and see what God was doing. That they would want a part of that community. They want to be a part of it because God's law and grace preserved such a bond of mutual need for community, of commitment and love, that worked itself out in practical ways. And they would want to have that same love and security for themselves. So however independent or resourceful or successful or secure we may feel, we all need community. We need to belong to a group of people with whom we can share life's journey with its highs and its lows. People who will give care and support with no agenda other than the joy of caring. Being amongst other people will never be enough. We can still be lonely in a crowd. The American theologian Professor Stanley Hauerwas wrote this. He said, it's quite understandable that many people today feel the need for community. After all, we live in a social order that has confused freedom with the isolation of self. We may think we know one another,
But although we bump up against one another, we share no common story and no corresponding judgments about what is true, good, and beautiful. In such a social order, people too often confuse community with being in a crowd. Do we want to be part of a collective, a group of people who meet together? Or do we want to be part of a community? When people gather together, usually for some common cause, it can still be a lonely experience. Christian communities are God's design for the highest human good, but churches can be lonely places when their members are unfriendly and unwelcoming and uninterested. We might find company and conversation and even camaraderie in a group, but being part of a community is a much deeper, more fulfilled way of human life, of being human. St. Paul often speaks about the qualities and the experiences that marks out the church as a place of community. And this will be a focus for another service that we'll have together. This final quotation, which is in two parts. Paul urges the Christians in Ephesus to do this. Live a life together worthy of your calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of bond, the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. From Christ, he says, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Shall we pray?